Grace, mercy, and peace are yours from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, our Redeemer is what our church is called, but what does Redeemer really mean? I'd encourage you to Google it if you don't already know. I think you'll be surprised by what Merriam-Webster says about the word Redeemer. Simply put, in our minds, Redeemer is somebody who redeems. And when we look after the word redeem, we see it means to buy back, to purchase back, or to rescue from harms or distress. Now, in our text today, Naomi is in a place of distress. Life. It has the most unexpected twists. Her husband Elimelech, at the beginning of the book of Ruth, has just brought his family out of the land of Israel and into the land of Moab. And while we might not exactly know why, the beginning of the book says it happened in the time the judges ruled. So we can assume that it's not a very good time to live in Israel. It's not a good time to live in Bethlehem. So Elimelech takes his family and they go to Moab in search for a better life. And at first, things seemed great. But then Elimelech dies. Afterwards, his two sons, Mahlon and Chilion, they find for themselves Moabite wives. The name of one is Orpah, the name of the other is Ruth. And for about 10 years, these two married couples live with Naomi. They worship the God of Israel, and things seem to be back on track. But then disaster strikes again. Mahlon and Chilion die. Now, in the law of the land, this makes Naomi dead too. Not only is she a widow, but now she has no sons. She can't own any property. Death has followed her. She doesn't have anything else. At this time, she might be able to be saved by bearing more children, but she's too old. Besides, who would want her anyway? The line of Elimelech was going to die with her. She's just had to bury her husband and now her two sons. So Naomi attempts to send away her two daughters-in-law. She says, "You're still young. There's still hope for you, but there's none left for me. Go back to your families. Go back to your homeland. Leave me to die by myself." Besides, who would want to be with Naomi anyway? Better for them to simply leave and go seek out the life that they could find than to stick with her. They had come to Moab in search of life, but all they found was death. So Orpah leaves. Orpah leaves because the price is just too high for Orpah. But Ruth wouldn't leave. Ruth refused to go. She clung to her mother-in-law and she gave this great confession of fidelity and of loyalty. She says, "Where you go, I will go. Where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people will be my people. Your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried." We should pause for a moment, because this is unusual. Not every daughter-in-law makes this confession to her mother-in-law. So, what could make Ruth cling to Naomi? Well, I would argue not a what, but a who. God. You see, because Ruth has just been worshiping the God of Israel for the past 10 years... with her husband, her brother-in-law, her sister-in-law, and her mother-in-law. This same God who said in Exodus chapter 6, verse 7, "You will be my people, and I will be your God." So Ruth clings to Naomi. She heads to Israel to live as a foreigner in the land of Israel in the time the judges were ruling. Now, Naomi knew that life was not going to be easy for them. There were going to be two foreign widows back in this land of Israel in this time of difficulty. They would have to work by the sweat of their brow and glean from the fields of the harvest. It's why she told Orpah and Ruth to go home. But Ruth chose to stay. She chose to live as a foreigner in Israel and pay the price of hospitality to her mother-in-law. Life wasn't going to be easy for them. It's why Elimelech brought his family out of Israel and into Moab, so they could have a better life. But all they found was death. Because life, it has the most unexpected twists. You and I don't need to look very far to see the impacts of sin in the world. Just turn on the news, turn up your phone, look on Facebook, or just wait around for a while. Eventually, some tragedy will make its way to your ears. Eventually, you'll hear of some death, of some pain. Death is all around us. People are dying every day. It can be accidents, hurricanes, illness, shootings, war, disease, or just time. There's no escaping death. In fact, Benjamin Franklin is quoted as saying, "There's only two things in life that are certain, death and taxes." People are certain to die. Unless Christ comes back first, you are going to die. I am going to die. My daughter is going to die. People who are born today are going to die. It doesn't really surprise you and I, does it? I'm not saying anything new. This isn't hitting you like a ton of bricks. This isn't some shocking revelation. You and I are used to death. It may be tragic, it might be sad, but it's definitely not unexpected. Because life may have all these twists and turns, but death is the one thing that you and I tend to think, well, that's just natural. Except, brothers and sisters, it isn't. Brothers and sisters in Christ, death was never a part of God's original plan for Adam and Eve. They were made in the image of God. They were told to be fruitful and multiply. Death is a result of the breaking of God's good and perfect will, the rebellion of mankind against God that let sin come into the world. Death is the most unnatural thing. So it took the supernatural to fix creation. It took God, the same God who just had his creation ruined. He promised a Savior. The same God whose people time and time again would rebel and go astray and serve other gods. He does the most unnatural thing, and he clings to them. He says they will be his people and he will be their God. The Father sends Jesus. Jesus, who was ready to pay the full price. You see, life, true life, takes the most unexpected twist for you and for me. Jesus is born this baby in Bethlehem. He becomes sin and dies upon a cross. The same Jesus who cried at the tomb of Lazarus because he just witnessed the effect of sin and the death of another one of God's dear children. See, if you Google Redeemer and you see what Merriam-Webster has to say, it defines it as a person who redeems, especially, capitalized, Jesus. You see, you and I should be foreigners to God, or even more so, you and I should be enemies of God. But even in a world that denies Christ, the truth is known that Jesus is the true Redeemer. Like Ruth clung to Naomi and declared to go out with her and die with her, God has baptized you into Christ's life, death, and resurrection. Death is not the end of God's people. We read it today. God is not the God of the dead, but the God of the living. Death is not the end for God's people. That would be unnatural. Instead, this very flesh will be risen. Your eyes will behold the true Redeemer, because you and I are clinging to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, the same God who has paid the full price for our sins. See, today you and I are blessed to gather around the gospel, that sure promise that you and I have received forgiveness of sins, salvation, and life everlasting. You and I have been bought by the true Redeemer. Now, today, more are going to join the family here at our Redeemer through the rites of confirmation. And we just witnessed the rite of baptism as more have come to the family of God. But let's not forget that there are still people out there who don't know that they have been purchased by Christ. As people who have been shown the greatest hospitality, let's get out there. Let's go and show the hospitality of God. That same hospitality that invites sinners to come in and have their sins forgiven. Because there's nothing like the hospitality of God. A hospitality that lives and breathes among us today. Because Christ has risen from the grave. Death could not hold him. He comes to meet us here today that his hospitality might be known among us. Jesus is coming back to bring us into the new creation. Let's shout the gospel from the rooftops that Jesus paid it all. Our Redeemer lives. Oh, the sweet joy this sentence gives. I know that my Redeemer lives. Thank God for Jesus. So be it. Amen. As followers of Christ, keep loving one another earnestly. And show hospitality to one another without grumbling. Amen.